Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the Old Testament lesson of the day found in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brother Israelites. Listen to him. That is exactly what you asked from the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly. You said, "Do not let me hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, and do not let me see this great fire again, or I will die." Then the Lord said to me, "They have done well by saying what they said. I will raise up a prophet for them from among their brothers, like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them everything that I command him. Anyone who will not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. Any prophet who presumes to speak something in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks something in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." This is our text. Dear people of God, where is God? I want to talk to him. Many people have made this foolish request. Job did. In Job chapter 31, verse 35, Job made the mistake of saying this: "Let the Almighty answer me." And the Lord did. The Lord showed up and humbled and crumbled Job by saying, "Who is this who spreads darkness over my plans with his ignorant words? Get ready for action like a man. Then I will ask you questions and you will inform me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand anything about it. Who determined its dimensions? I am sure you know." Job did not like that, and he repented repeatedly for daring to question God and to demand that God explain himself to him. Everyone thinks that they want God to talk to them, but those who have had that opportunity, they didn't like it at all. The Israelites learned the same lesson, the same hard way, on Mount Sinai, on Horeb, that mountain that glowed with fire and was covered with smoke, the mountain that if anyone or any animal were to touch it, they were to be stoned to death or shot with arrows. That mountain that had earthquakes and thunder and lightning and the constant sound of a ram's horn blast. From that mountain, the Lord himself spoke to the Israelites, just as everyone claims that they want him to. And when the Lord finished announcing his commandments to the people, we read in Exodus 20, "All the people saw and heard the thunder and the lightning and the sound of the ram's horn and the mountain smoking. The people saw and they trembled and stood far away. Then they said to Moses, 'Speak with us yourself and we will listen, but do not let God speak with us or we will die.'" And now here in Deuteronomy, as the Lord is recounting Israel's history, all through Moses, of course, he repeats their request to never want to hear God speak again. And the Lord here says, "Yeah, fine. I will never make you shake in your boots like that again. Instead, I will send my message to you in a different way, in a way that sinners can handle. I will give you a prophet like like Moses, but not exactly like him. See, Moses was the only prophet the Israelites had ever known. In fact, Moses was the first prophet. Every other prophet was an imitator of him. But this prophet that the Lord was talking about here was different. He would be like Moses in that he would be from among you, from among your brother Israelites. So a human, a Jewish man. He would not be like the gods of ancient poetry that raped people and messed with people and tortured people. No, this ultimate prophet would be humble and gentle, just the way Moses was, or just the way Moses had learned to be. The Lord says that with this new prophet, the Lord would put my words in his mouth, and he will speak everything that I command him. Now, Moses had the words of God in his mouth, but Moses, from time to time, let his own words slip out also. Moses was just a man, a human being like you and me, sinful like us all. But this prophet would only have the words of God in his mouth. He would speak everything that I command him. Because this new promised prophet would be God himself. And this new promised prophet is, of course, Jesus, the very Son of God, our dear Savior, the Word of God made flesh. And it was obvious. After Jesus fed the 5,000 with those two small fish and five biscuits, the people, not Jesus or the disciples, the people, the crowd said, "This really is the prophet who is coming into the world." They knew the promise. And they could see its fulfillment, obviously, in Jesus. One day when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, remember those Pharisees who hated him so much, Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak exactly as the Father taught me." See, that's what the Lord promised about the prophet. He would speak exactly what the Father taught him. He would speak everything that I command him. The Apostle Peter, after Pentecost, quoted this very passage from Deuteronomy as proof of who Jesus is and why people should put their faith in him. Jesus is the prophet promised long ago by Moses, who would come into the world. And therefore, we should listen to him. "Anyone who will not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account." That's a warning for all of us. Listen to Jesus. But Pastor, how can we listen to Jesus? He's gone. He died, was buried, rose, and ascended into heaven. He's not here. Oh, but he is. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. When the Word speaks, the Lord speaks. When the Lord speaks, he speaks not through the stars, not through the ocean waves, not through internet geniuses, but the Lord speaks through the Bible, and he speaks to you. The Lord speaks of your situation. I mentioned Job earlier. The older I get, the more I like the book of Job. Job is a discussion, is an argument among friends about the essence of God and how God does things. I admit I listen to too much radio announcers, too many TV talking heads who talk about nothing. And when they do attempt to talk about a deeper subject, they never get very deep. They only scratch the surface and just end up with the simplest of platitudes. But in Job, Job and his friends talk about how God works, how God deals with people, what people deserve, and how God is so far above it all. It's just absolutely wonderful. Now, why is that in the Bible? Is the book of Job in the Bible only for seminary professors to translate and to diagram? No. It was written for you. It was written for me. To open our minds, to challenge our thinking, to show us the universe that God sees, and to ponder it. Once, of course, we have learned about creation and the plan of salvation through Jesus and how the gospel works in congregations. All things found in this same scripture. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to your situation and about your problems in the Bible. Do you want to talk to God? Open your Bible, of which we all have many in our homes, and listen to the Lord talk through his prophet. Anyone who will not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But then Moses also gives a warning to me. Any prophet who presumes to speak something in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks something in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And that's not the nice, easy death of this world where we rest in peace. When the Bible talks about death, it's talking about eternal death, eternally dying in the place that is separate from God in heaven. It shows you how wrong the world is. The world is constantly patting itself on the back and saying, oh, we are so wonderful. We accept people of all faiths, for they are all the same. They are just different ways to the same place. Is that what Moses says here? That the Lord really doesn't care what people believe or what preachers preach? Or is the Lord a jealous God who demands that we listen to his word and proclaim it properly? I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a push right now in our nation against hypocrites of the church. The complaint says that Christians want people to believe that they live in the peace and forgiveness of Jesus, but really they only live in that peace and forgiveness for an hour on Sunday morning. And then the rest of the 6.5 days of the week, they spend their lives as enemies of love. And when we hear those accusations, the first thing we do is we get defensive and we say, oh, those are just the godless heathen. They wouldn't know Jesus if he knocked on their door. But we should take every opportunity to examine ourselves. Examine our hearts. Are they right? Are they properly describing me? Am I living my Christian faith the way I want to, the way I pretend to? The Lord Jesus, the ultimate prophet of the Lord, came into this world to live a perfect life in our place. Because we haven't, and we can't. He came to live righteously and give us the credit for that righteousness that we can hand to the judge on the last day. In that great mercy and love for us then, the Word made flesh sacrificed his own body and blood upon the cross of shame to pay for every sin, every rebellion, every failure, every shortcoming that you and me and every human on the face of this globe have ever or will ever commit. And then to prove to you that you are justified in the eyes of God, the maker and judge of heaven and earth. The Lord Jesus then walked out of his tomb on the third day from his crucifixion. You are holy people in God's eyes, as one by the prophet and by told and as told to you in his holy scripture. Live out your faith in Christ. Be people of his word, people who cherish his word, use his word, read his word, learn his word, and apply his word and his will to your everyday situations. Help one another. Promote peace in your workplace. Don't be the jerk. Be the one rather who cleans up other people's problems. Don't be the arrogant one who causes them. There's nothing worse in a workplace than someone who can see the faults of everyone else and knows the answers of how to solve everything. Not you. Be humble. Be a servant. Stay after and clean up without being asked, all on your own, without looking for praise, without looking for thank yous. Be a servant of the Lord, be a servant of his word, and be a servant of his people. That's how you truly listen to him. The Lord has declared that you are his holy people through Christ. The Lord has made you his people by the work of the Holy Spirit. Be the people of God that Jesus, the prophet, has made you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.